Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's a race. The race is on for the super battery, an energy storage device that is cheap, effective, and won't blow up in your face. And when they come up with it, it'll be the missing big piece, the cornerstone for the renewable energy economy. And tonight you can hear all about it, watch all about it on PBS, KLRN-TV at 8 o'clock. The Nova documentary premieres The Search for the Super Battery. We see the problems with the battery that you might have in your pocket right now. There's all sorts of videos out there of these things blowing up and catching fire, and what innovations are around the corner that could change the world, and that is no exaggeration. Finding the great new super battery will be a world changer. And we're joined by the host of the Innova's Search for the Super Battery documentary, tech columnist David Poe, and also Mike Zimmerman, founder and CEO of Ionic Materials and professor of Tufts University in engineering. Lots of ways for you to get into our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And so, David, You're a funny guy, man. You really make this entertaining when we watch you walk us through the issues of the battery.
Well, that's the challenge when they tell you we're going to make an hour show about battery technology. It's like, shoot me now.
But I was
astonished. These producers knew what they were doing. This is an absolutely fascinating topic. I mean, most consumers think, oh, why can't they invent a better battery, when what they mean is make it last longer per charge. But the title of the show, The Search for the Super Battery, is a reference to the fact that we want a lot more than that from our batteries. We want them cheap. We want them lightweight. We want to be able to charge them thousands of times. And, yeah, preferably they wouldn't blow up.
And you show us the salt water battery initially in the show, and I was waiting for the one-liner about salt and battery.
You know, I'm sure I said it. It just didn't make the show.
and it goes to the word origin of battery, which is interesting. The word battery in this context as an energy storage device was first used by Benjamin Franklin in 1747 in his own experiments. So
I didn't know that.
Because it comes from the military word to battery, to strike, which was later transferred to having an array of attackers. And now when we have a battery, we want it to be able to strike, we want it to have a charge, and we also need a lot of them.
That's right. And most people think of batteries in terms of, you know, their phones. Maybe some people think about electric cars. But as you indicated, the role of batteries is much bigger than that. Solar and wind power are never really going to catch on until we have some way to capture them and store them until people need them. Electricity isn't like water that's waiting there in the pipe. Electricity has to be generated in real time when you turn on your lamp. So right now, you know, most of the wind blows at night, and we have no way to deliver it to you during the day. So there's this huge push to deliver batteries for the grid.
So let's talk about this battery problem that we're seeing on YouTube and sometimes on the evening news. We see a surveillance footage of some guy standing there at the ATM, and suddenly his pocket explodes and it's his phone or his vaping device. But Mike Zimmerman, since you've kind of licked this issue, how is it that some of these batteries do that strange thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, basically, a battery has got three components to it. It's got an anode and a cathode, and they hold the energy. And what you need is a highway between them to pass ions through. And interestingly enough, I mean, since about 1799, when the first battery was developed, it was actually with salt water, something called a voltaic pile. We've used liquid electrolytes as the highway, so liquids. And since 1991, we've had lithium-ion batteries. That's what's in all of your smartphones. That's what people want to put in the electric cars. And people are trying to get longer charge, which means you have to have higher energy density, which means you're getting the anodes and cathodes closer together. But what people don't really know is that the liquid electrolyte that we use is kind of like kerosene. It can become flammable and explode. So and any kind of minor manufacturing defect, such as impurities or slight design flaws, or you damage the battery, or there's like 1,000 YouTube videos, you poke it, it blows up. So my idea is that I'm not from this industry of batteries. I'm a material science and plastics guy. So I came up with the idea, well, if we could change that to a simple solid and have that solid between the anode and cathodes, if that solid can have ions running through it, we can make a very safe battery. And that's basically what we've been working on, is a plastic. People know what plastics are. They're long chain polymers, but you see them every day. We're putting a plastic between the anode and cathode, and it's impossible for it to basically catch on fire. In the show, you'll see that we try to take a torch to it, try to have it catch on fire, and then David does a great job at cutting up batteries, and he gets very excited about it. But we're fundamentally working with a material that's fundamentally non-flammable and developing that to implement it to batteries, basically.
And this is Pogue. I should add that because Mike's plastic electrolyte, so to speak, this solid piece of film between the two electrodes, because it keeps the two sides of the battery separated enough, he can use lithium metal in his batteries, which holds a lot more charge than the lithium ion stuff we use now. The reason we don't use lithium metal is because it's even more explosive than lithium ion is, and that would be really bad. But he can do it. So Mike Zimmerman's battery not only cannot and will not explode or catch fire, but it can hold twice as much power, which is arguably a good thing.
So let's talk about that for a second. A lithium ion, a phrase we throw around all the time, but most people have no idea. What do you mean by lithium ion? We know lithium's an element, one of those top ones right underneath hydrogen. But so what's the deal with a lithium ion, Mike?
Yeah, so lithium ion, the typical batteries that you'll have in your smartphone has what's called a graphite anode and some type of a lithium-based cathode, lithium cobalt oxide or different elements, basically. And we have ions that run between the anode and cathode. When you charge it, it goes one way. When you discharge it, it goes another way. But you need ions to go back and forth to release energy with the anode and cathode. So lithium ions were discovered, or the battery was first commercialized by Sony in 1991, and it's just a higher energy density battery. We've used various different types of ions, like alkaline batteries, like your AA batteries. They have an OH ion running through it. So the different ions allow for different types of anodes and cathodes, which give you different amounts of energy. And interestingly enough, when Sony first started developing the lithium ion battery, they wanted to use lithium metal. But the problem with lithium metal is if you have a liquid electrolyte, you get these things called dendrites, which can short, and that causes a very, very severe explosion with lithium metal. Lithium metal, as the anode, has 10 times energy density as the current lithium ion graphite anode. And everybody wants to go to lithium metal, but with liquid electrolytes, it's just very, very unsafe. But again, the last 30 years, lithium ion batteries have been the battery of choice for high energy, and it's in everything. It's in hoverboards, it's been laptop computers, it's in your current smartphones, and
cars.
The lithium ion batteries are the ones that you hope your smartphone lasts for a whole day. I know my phone, every day at 3 o'clock I got to recharge it, and if we had lithium metal in there as the anode, it could last twice as long, basically.
So the thing about hoverboards, they don't hover, right? I call them I call them scooter boards. I think that's a more accurate description, because when they start to hover, that's when I'll go buy one. And you're going to need a lot of energy for that now and in the future. And that's the trick about these batteries, is that you do put a lot of energy into them, but you don't want them to discharge all at once. That's where we get these problems, right, David?
Absolutely.
And so, but now we're seeing folks like the Tesla Motors talking with their Gigafactory in Reno, Nevada, and talking about these wall batteries that will power entire houses. And then China also talking about cutting their price for batteries in the future by 35 to 40%. There's a battery war on the way, David.
It really is. I mean, suddenly the world is waking up to the fact that, you know, batteries aren't just what we put in our flashlight anymore, that batteries are going to be the key to everything. I mean, you could even argue that batteries, in terms of grid storage and electric cars, are a key tool in fighting climate change. I mean, batteries, energy storage, is going to be, you know, this way to enable the grid not to be just real time. And by the way, there, you can't really use our standard rechargeable lithium-ion batteries for our power plants, for that time shifting and of solar and wind that I was talking about. So in the show tonight, we visited all kinds of interesting energy storage ideas and plants that aren't chemical batteries. Like, you know, in many places in the United States, they have two reservoirs and a dam. And during the night, when nobody's using electricity and it's so cheap and plentiful that the power plants actually waste it, they burn it off, they use the electricity to pump water uphill into the upper reservoir. And then during the day, when people need energy, they let it run down and drive a turbine to create juice. And that same idea of time shifting is behind things like flywheel energy. There are a couple of companies making these gigantic 5,000-pound spinning discs made out of steel. They spin at 8,000 RPM inside a vacuum-sealed can so there's no air friction, and suspended by a magnet so there's no friction. And these things, again, spin up at nighttime when the wind is blowing and no one's using power, and then they release it during the day when we all come home from work and turn on our air conditioners. They can store 4 hours of energy, and it's a real thing. PG&E, the biggest California electric company, is going to install 2,000 of these flywheels this spring.
Just one way they're trying to take energy that's available now during the daytime and be able to use it at night, but the battery, that's the holy grail that people are looking for. We can find cheap, plentiful, mass-produced batteries that could solve the big equation that we have for energy. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. You know the phone, you know, it runs all day and it tells you all sorts of interesting things. And in your laptop computer, maybe even your car, maybe that scooter board or that drone that you got for Christmas, what makes them go when you want them to go is the battery. And these are batteries that hold a lot of energy and there's a lot of demands on them. And when they're not made well, sometimes things go south, they explode, they start fires. It's a problem. That's why airlines are very interested. That's why some of these Android phones have been a big concern as well. What makes a battery work and keep it from turning into a problem and giving you the energy when you want it to? That's the issue that's being discussed tonight on KLRN as they search for the super battery. This could be the thing that changes the world's economy if they come up with the right battery with the right components. It's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight on PBS KLRN-TV, Nova documentary, The Search for the Super Battery. We're joined by David Pogue. He is the host of the program and also a tech columnist. Mike Zimmerman, he is the founder and CEO of Ionic Materials, and he has come up with possibly the super battery. And that is really interesting, Mike, what you have developed. And so where are you on this stage? Because you've come up with a battery that won't blow up, won't explode, holds high capacity. You know, where are you on rolling this thing out?
Yeah, we've gone further than anybody else who's tried to make a solid-state battery, demonstrate performance, demonstrate most of the requirements for the battery. And mostly what's left is trying to scale up a new technology for making batteries. The current lithium-ion batteries are made with liquid electrolytes, and they have certain manufacturing processes for that. So some of the things that we have to do is to basically develop the process of implementing our material into a battery using a plastic. And I will tell you this, by implementing plastics manufacturing, the battery manufacturing process can be cheaper. Also, lithium metal is where we want to go, which is a higher energy density anode. And nobody's ever developed a rechargeable lithium metal anode factory yet. So there's going to be a lot of work in scaling it up. But I think that this is a very worthy pursuit in the sense that this is the way that batteries can be safe, perform better, and be cheaper.
So you're an expert in plastics and polymers, and you could look, you were looking around and saying, where could my expertise really go? How did you come to batteries?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm a material scientist, worked on plastics and high volume manufacturing plastics and coming up with polymer formulations that are kind of novel. And for some reason, I don't know why, I started thinking about batteries about 5 years ago. And after thinking about it and understanding them, you know, I looked at the materials because I'm a material scientist, and you have an anode and a cathode, which are very reactive and very high energy. And then you're marrying that with this very unstable, flammable liquid electrolyte. And I said to myself, you know, this is a bomb. You couldn't put three worse materials together. So I started to think about, can we do it with a solid and can we do it with a plastic? And I said, if we can do it with a plastic, we could make it safe and we can implement higher energy anodes and cathodes. And I've always worked in developing high-volume plastic processes to make things cheap. So it's another way of making a battery. So it would be a true revolution in performance and how we manufacture batteries.
Let's go to the
This is Pogue. I should point out that the idea of replacing this highly flammable liquid that's in your phone with a solid material, that's not new. We, for the show, we visited a couple of labs that are desperately trying to make ceramic separator material work. That would be a very thin but rigid, brittle piece of material. It does let the ions go back and forth. It does replace the explosive liquid, but it's just so darn brittle. They can't really get it to work without shattering at the least bump.
That's going to be the challenge, particularly because batteries are going to take a lot of hits. We want them in our vehicles, and we want them in our phones, and we want all those things to be able to service and not become unstable.
Exactly right. So the ionic materials, plastic film is not only not brittle, but Mike showed me that you can roll it up. I mean, you can roll it into a tube. You can he hooked it up to an LED light. You'll see this on the show tonight, and handed me a pair of scissors. The battery itself inside your phone looks like a gray silvery metal pouch. These are called pouch batteries. And Mike invited me to make a cut into his battery, just as they do on YouTube, and resulting in huge fireballs. So he talked me into it, and I mean, I was able to cut this thing into shreds. I mean, I practically made a doily out of it, and not only did it not blow up, but the LED light stayed powered on. That's the part that blew my mind. It did no damage to either the battery or the light that it was powering.
All right. Let's go to a phone call. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation as we talk about the search for the Super Battery, which airs tonight on PBS, KLRN here in San Antonio at 8 p.m. Roger is on the line. And Roger, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you? My question is, how safe are the batteries going to be in the way of disposal? Because I know that the batteries right now, even though they're lithium ions, are still not allowed in landfills, and are the new batteries going to be any less evasive for the environment?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you for that, Roger. And so, Mike Zimmerman?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate that. Our polymer, our plastic that we're going to implement, is very safe from an environmental point of view. The safety issue relates to the actual active materials like lithium. So if it's a lithium-based battery, there will still be some issues. However, thing that we haven't talked about, and it wasn't on David's show, is that our polymer can enable more abundant and safe active materials that are very environmentally friendly. So after we come out with this lithium metal battery, we're going to come out with an even higher energy density battery that has abundant and safe elements on it that will be completely recyclable and you can throw in your trash.
And the search for the supercapacitor is also there with the super battery. You want something that can take a charge extremely fast and then let it out little by little. Is that something that you're looking at, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. There's various ways of handling that in the active materials. So that's another major element of new batteries, is being able to charge your electric car very quickly.
Another caller, Tom, is on the line. And hey, Tom, welcome to The Source, and you're on the air.
I don't know if this is appropriate, but San Antonio was supposed to be like a center for fuel cells. Is it ever possible to have like a combination of fuel cells and a supercapacitor together?
Okay, Tom. So just bringing up the topic of fuel cells, there was a lot of research and a lot of hype about fuel cells not that long ago. I remember 60 Minutes did the thing about the big black box fuel cell that was going to charge us all of our buildings. And then, you stop hearing about it. David?
Yeah, we actually did a profile of that exact black box thing, too, on an earlier Nova special. It's called Bloom Boxes. The idea behind these is it lets any corporation or building have its own electrical plant. Like, just it's the size of a refrigerator. It sits out in your parking lot. All you need is like a natural gas line to it, and otherwise you're off the grid. It makes your own electricity for you. And you're right. There was a bunch of excitement. 60 Minutes did a story. We did a story. There are a bunch of companies in Silicon Valley, eBay, the FedEx Depot in Oakland, Google, they're all using these Bloom boxes. But otherwise, and they were supposed to be working on a home version that would let all of us be off the grid, just generate our own power. But
it's been 10 years.
They ran into scaling up issues, and they've sort of fallen off the grid, so to speak.
Okay. So that's what I'm concerned about. You know, we hear about great technology. And Mike, no offense to you, but you're wondering, like, I'm wondering, like, is this, you know, am I still going to be hearing about this 5 years from now? Is it really going to hit my shelf?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, my company, Ionic's, been working on this very methodically. We haven't told anybody, and David's the first one that's actually telling the story. But, I'm confident we have a material, an approach, a technology, and a team that's going to deliver this. So, and we're up to the challenge. That's all I can say.
Okay, another caller, Robert Ian, is on the line. And Robert Ian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. How's it going?
Okay, go ahead.
Last week, Harvard released a statement saying that they took hydrogen gas and compressed it into hydrogen metal, something that we've seen as a possibility in space but never been able to use on Earth. And some of the things they said about this new hydrogen metal are pretty awesome, about almost no electrical resistance and stuff like that. Does your material scientist or anyone in the industry, are they excited about the prospects of using this new metal?
So as a superconductor?
What can it be used? Where can we go with it?
Okay.
All
right, Robert, thanks for the call. Mike Zimmerman, how excited are you about hydrogen metal?
Well, I think it's a innovation that was demonstrated in the lab, and we just have to keep track of, what its properties are and how we can use it. But it was I saw that, and people in universities are always coming up with interesting like ideas on it, and that's why we have universities. So I think we just have to wait a little while and get some more data and see where it goes.
It's all about economics, David Pogue, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And a lot of these things become hits or misses depending on, economics and circumstance. One of my favorite learnings from doing this battery show is Mike referenced Sony inventing the lithium-ion battery in 1991 for use in its camcorders, in the Handycam. That was the first lithium-ion rechargeable battery. But we all see battery diagrams as being like the two electrodes, the anode and the cathode, like on one on the right, one on the left, with the separator in the middle. That's not what they look like. They're jelly rolls. They're three sheets of film. The anode is a roll of,
right.
of plastic film.
So it feels like a pouch of peanut butter, but it's actually going to skippy your electronics along. I want to thank both of our guests, David Pogue. He's on TV tonight at Nova PBS, 8 p.m. here in San Antonio. Also with us is Mike Zimmerman, founder and CEO of Ionic Materials. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.